Welcome to the Time to Thrive podcast, a podcast designed to help you level up every aspect in your life. I am one of your hosts, Jordan.
And I'm Jared. We are a multi-passionate couple so excited about helping others thrive in their health, wealth, relationships, and careers.
Together, we are here to share with you knowledge, experiences, tips, and tricks to help you step into your fullest potential while also keeping it real.
If you're ready to create the life of your dreams and have fun doing it, then you've come to the right place. So hit that subscribe button and press play, because baby, it's time to thrive.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Time to Thrive podcast. I am here with one of my dear friends and Jared and my wedding planner, Kath McColeman, or Cassandra McColeman with Whitehaven Weddings. And we're going to do a little bit of a different style episode. I don't even know, honestly. I think you might be our first official guest on the podcast. Wow. I'm going to have to go back and look. But it couldn't have been better timing. And I just think that the business that Cass has grown from literally the ground up and what she has done with Whitehaven in so many different capacities, I think a lot of you listeners, I know a lot of you are in the online network marketing space or have your own businesses or just love like entrepreneurship. So you're going to get a lot from her today. So Cass, I don't know if you want to just say a little hello, but if you can go into like your story and kind of like share with everyone who you are, what you do, and like give us a little download.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. Yeah, so basically wedding planning wasn't actually something I always thought that I would get into. I grew up in Alberta outside of Edmonton in Sherwood Park, and I always knew that I wanted to be in the Okanagan, but I was more so into like architecture and design. But I knew that I wanted to work for myself. I always had, you know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. I knew working for myself was something I really wanted to do, but what that looked like, I wasn't really sure. So in 2014, I moved to the Okanagan and I completed my business degree at Okanagan College. And one of the summers during my degree, I just started shadowing, you know, industry professionals. And I actually got on with a little independent venue out on the west side. And I was just kind of her little day of helper, would help set up weddings. It's just this like beautiful little gazebo out in a meadow. And I was like, I kind of like this. Like, this is kind of something I never really thought I could see myself doing. And so I was really lucky to have, you know, that business owner as a mentor. And she really helped me actually build my business when it came to the services I offered, the name of my business even, just kind of who I was as an entrepreneur and what I wanted my business to look like. So I started that, it's been a long time now, I think 10 years, I'm going on 10 years now, being in the wedding industry.
That's so crazy.
I know, it's kind of weird. I didn't, when I was thinking about this podcast, I was like, how long have I been doing this? Kind of makes me feel old, but here we are. But a lot has happened in that time. And I think when people hear the word wedding planner, you know, it means so many different things to so many different people. And, you know, you have an event coordinator, you have a day of coordinator, a wedding planner. So I think over the last few seasons, I've really kind of dialed that in. And I think where we're headed, especially in 2025 and 2026, it's kind of what we've been. And by we, I say my team and I, because that's something that I've put a lot of effort into the last few seasons. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, I feel like just from like the time that I've known you even, and that goes even before you were our wedding planner, everything is kind of coming to fruition. So it's cool because our conversations, I know from like the time that we literally met, we've always had very like in-depth conversations about business and growth and ideas and like, for anyone that knows me, they know that that's super normal. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, what are your business plans?
Love it. Love it.
But I love that we jived on that. And I feel like it's all starting to come together. And like the ideas and like Cass and her fiance, Nick, were over for wine the other night with Jared and I. And we were literally like, they came over at 7 o'clock and we were like, oh, come over for a glass of wine. And you guys, they were here until, I think it was like 2 a.m. that you guys ended up.
2 a.m.
And we were just talking about business and life and all the things. So like, that's why I wanted to bring her on the podcast and just for you guys to feel a little bit of that energy as well. One of the questions I had that just from that came up, and I think that would speak to a lot of listeners, is you said that you grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and I know kind of your parents' background, but what did that have that you thought impacted you on, like how did that help you in your childhood, and how did that change you growing up? Because I know that a lot of, and like, we obviously work by mentoring others and everything, and a lot of people hold that guilt, because being an entrepreneur, there is a lot of that time that you have to kind of allocate, especially in the beginning when you're growing your business. And did you see that with your parents? Did that instill different values in there? Like, how did that shift things? And now coming into, you know, yourself getting married and planning for a family and all that kind of stuff, like, what lessons did you learn and how did that change you?
That's a good question. So my parents were small business owners. My dad owned a business. And I think the biggest part of that was really seeing the struggles, like, firsthand. There was a point where, you know, he built a business from the ground up and he lost everything, and he had to build a brand new business and keep going. And something that really always stuck with me was he never quit. Like, nothing could get in his way. And he would just, like, as he always said, keep moving forward. No one's going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And I have this distinct memory growing up. Like, I used to be so bad at math, and I'd be sitting at home just crying because I failed another exam, and I would study harder than anyone else in the class, and I'd still get, like, I don't know, I'd fail it, or 60%. Like, I'd hardly be passing, and I'd be crying and crying. And I remember him saying to me, crying isn't going to get you anywhere. It's not worth it. Keep moving forward. So whenever I've kind of reached a challenge in my business, I try and just say, like, this is only going to make you better, and you get to learn from it. And this is actually a really great thing. It's a really beautiful thing. Let's not cry about it like I used to. So I think just being so immersed in my parents' business and seeing them struggle, like, I had a really great upbringing, but I remember, you know, my dad struggling through his own business, and it was with his uncle, or my uncle and my dad's dad, so my grandpa. So it was a family-owned business, and there's a lot of dynamics to that. And I think just learning the good, the bad, the ugly. And it was a lot of bad and ugly. It's never easy. And I think having that around me every single day really helped me.
Which I think is also a really good lesson, because I think now in our society, there is such a that almost like, okay, I want it now syndrome. And we see this, like, instant gratification, or like, start your business and make like thousands of dollars online, or like, I'm going to become a realtor and like, be multi-million dollar sellers in no time. And I think it's so important for newer entrepreneurs to realize, like, there are going to be those hard times. Like, as a business owner, whether you're in network marketing, whether you have a wedding planning business, whether you are a realtor, whether you are doing whatever the heck you want, a brick and mortar, there's going to be the highs, there's going to be the lows. But I think if you always keep putting that one foot in front of the other, like you're saying about your dad, like, you're going to have those successes. And your dad has had a lot of amazing success, which you probably also saw, which made you be like, I want to do that. Or the flexibility, or the ability to, like, drop everything if he wanted him to be at school or whatever it was.
The freedom. Really, yeah. It's all about the freedom for me being an entrepreneur. I've tried the 9-to-5 job, and oh my gosh, it's like jail. Like, I just couldn't do it. And it's not because I was like, oh, I'm better than this business. It's just, it's wired in me to work in a very different way. And yeah, I just can't imagine having it any other way, really. And I tell my staff that all the time too. I tell them, you know, at weddings that may have hiccups or may have not have gone as well as we in the background would have liked to see it, we learn so much more from those weddings than the weddings that go perfectly and right on time. Mm-hmm. And I tell my team, be a sponge, learn everything you can from every single vendor who's here, whether it's good or bad, because every wedding is so different, and we can take something from every single event that we do and apply it to the next. Yeah. There's some vendors out there who, you know, they're like, yeah, we got it. And it's like, I'd rather us just have an honest conversation about what's going on and be a team, because you're only as good as your vendors, and we all have to work together to make it work. So
yeah, Yeah. And it's just like, you know, parallel to dental office. Like I'm only as good as my hygienist, my receptionist, my assistants. Like if we're not all working together, it's going to be an absolute shit show of a day.
100%.
We all got to be running on the same cylinders in order for that to all come together. So if you like looking back on your past, well, I guess 10 plus years of entrepreneurship, what would you say like to a new entrepreneur? Like if you were saying, okay, here's two things that I would either implement from the beginning, things that I wish I would have done differently, things that I'm really glad that I did. Like what would be two things that you would kind of encourage them to do or say like, stay the heck away from this?
One of the biggest things is finding a mentor and being open to asking for help, because for so long I was like, I don't want anyone to know that I'm new. I want it to appear that I'm actually really good at my job. And I wish I just was a little bit more honest with myself and would have asked for help more, because we'll get into this a little bit later, but you know, I did workshops when I first started out and I had a mentor and I would ask them questions once I finally started to fail. And I was like, there's got to be a faster, easier way to learn these mistakes that are going to get me further quicker. Mm-hmm. And so I think asking for help, something that I've always struggled from, and I still to this day, I would say do, is imposter syndrome. So I'm always scared to launch the next thing. You know, I always think I'm a fraud. I'm not at that stage yet. And it's like, actually, no, you are. Like you've been doing this for 10 years. It's actually time to just launch the damn thing. Stop thinking about it. So, and that comes with experience too. Like you gotta learn and gain the confidence from being on the ground and learning. But I think just asking for help and just finding those key mentors and people in the industry that you can learn from, so you don't have to make expensive mistakes like I did and sit in my office and cry all the time.
Which and you help. You have to be okay too with, like, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I doubt I am, that you've had things in your journey that have flopped.
Yes. Yes, of course. Lots.
That have, like, you have these expectations. Like, I don't know, do you want to touch, not that it was a flop, but like, it was just something in your journey. Like if you want to touch on the branch of Whitehaven Home and this, like how you realized that that wasn't in alignment for you really anymore and shifted it away from that. Like, I don't know exactly all of the details there, but that is maybe a good example.
That is a really good example. Basically, so Whitehaven Home started during COVID. So as we all know, everything shut down, the event industry, it was horrible. And as everyone said back then, oh, you have to pivot. And something I always wanted to do, and it went back to me always being interested in architecture and design before I got into weddings, was having my own e-commerce online store. So everyone was shopping online. I already had this brand presence with Whitehaven Weddings. I had a following, brand recognition. I was like, I'm going to launch Whitehaven Home, a branch of Whitehaven Weddings. And for a few years, it did really great.
Yeah.
But it really, it was just, it's a service versus a product business. Wedding planning, I was so used to providing a service. And all of a sudden I started, you know, providing a product. And it was a lot of online markets and selling online. And it's just a whole different version of sales. Like I've gotten good at selling myself because we're confident. We have the experience and what we bring to a wedding. And I'm confident in the team that I've built. But when you're selling a product and you're coming up with new collections for Christmas in July, and I have 6 weddings in a month, it's like, when am I going to be building online collections? So basically when COVID started to wrap up and things started to open up again, I realized how much I actually missed weddings. And I think in a way I'm really thankful for COVID, because for a while I'm like, am I going to do this forever? Like what is the future of Whitehaven Weddings? How do I grow it? How do I get into the destination market? And I think just having a little bit of time away from it really, you know, reminded me how much I loved it and how much I appreciate it. So I don't do Whitehaven Home anymore. I just focus solely on planning and design. And I mean, it keeps me busy all year long. with destination weddings now. But yeah, it kind of, you just got to, as they say, pivot and just trust that it's going to work out, and you got to take the risk. Back to your other question, like, my parents were always big risk takers, and I definitely get that from my dad. Like, I'm like, oh, it's fine, we'll figure it out. And my fiance Nick is like, whoa, 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 what? Where did come from? All of a sudden we're doing this thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll figure it out tomorrow. Like, it's so good. It's going to be so good. So he definitely balances me out, but if you don't take risks.
But you need that, and you need that in entrepreneurship. And I think so many people, whether it's a new business, whether it's, you know, a new wedding planner diving into maybe a bigger scale wedding, or somebody diving into their online business, like, you're not going to know everything, and that's okay. But that's why you have a mentor and you establish that so that you can learn from them. And I always say, like, you learn as you go. And, you know, if you want to learn French, like, don't do Duolingo, go to France, like, dive in, you know, you just have to do the thing. And it's cool to have seen your journey and just realizing, like, okay, I had to pivot, had to do something new. Okay, realize that wasn't totally serving me, but it served me in a time. I'm super grateful for that. And now I'm doing XYZ, and now you are expanding, and you have expanded into, like, destination weddings and, like, getting into editorials and, like, featured in so many different publications. I don't even know. I know there's Style Me Pretty, Rocky Mountain Bride. What are some other ones?
Bash and Wed, Blush Magazine. We're trying to get into Vogue. That's kind of the next one that we're working on. Oh gosh.
Like, so many.
Yeah, there's quite a few. We're waiting on a few right now as well. Yes. So
it's cool to see that growth, but that growth wouldn't have happened if you just hadn't trusted yourself, taken that risk, been okay with, like, hey, this may not work out as we planned, but it might work out even better, you know?
And it's so true. 'Cause with the editorials, those are so hard to plan, especially in the Okanagan. And, you know, it was every step of the way for every single one we did this season. It was just, no, it's going to cost this much. Actually, we don't want to supply that for you. And it was like, whether it was me or the photographer or the florist crying at some point, like, we all reached our breaking point at some
point. You guys, a little funny.
Yeah.
Can I interject with the funny story about your guys' trip to Tofino?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one, actually. Yeah, we did Tofino.
Okay, so Kath and one of the main photographers that she works with, or the main, I'm not sure, but she's amazing. Her handle, we can drop it in the podcast notes below, is Minted Photography. They just got into Rocky Mountain Bride together, and they went to Tofino, did this, like, stunning editorial shoot. It was so beautiful. But they both got, like, wicked food poisoning for the whole time.
Yeah. Hold it. Whole week getting on a ferry. Oh yeah, it was horrendous.
Yeah.
And it would kind of come in way. And I was doing all the florals for that shoot too. So we had to stop in Vancouver, pick up all the florals, then keep driving to Tofino. Lindsay, actually, the photographer, Minted Photography, she had a client shoot, you know, on our way, and she had to cancel it because she couldn't even get out of bed. And then, you know, 5 days later, finally the shoot date comes, and it's so windy, it's so cold. Like, you probably can't tell from the photos, but I was on a high. Like, I couldn't feel anything, because that was a shoot that I've wanted to do since the very beginning of my business. But Lindsay was just so sick, and she was so nervous, because she's like, I had so much pressure from you to make this, like, editorial perfect. But you got to show up, you got to do it. You just got to persevere. And I was so determined to get that exact shot on the beach in the wind. Like, it was beautiful, but
yeah. And I think that's another lesson, like, within entrepreneurship, is, like, honestly, the people that just show up do the best. Like, if you aren't showing up for your team, if you're not, like, if I set an event date, I'm showing up. I don't care if there's one person there or 40 people there. Like, I am there. I committed to it. I'm doing it. Like, the integrity and the word of mouth that spreads from that, if you would have set all that up and then you would have canceled it, who knows what might not have come from that? You would have lost confidence in yourself. Like when we show up for ourselves, our confidence builds, our team gets confidence in us, all these things come together. And so it's so, so, so important to remember that. And I think you guys showed up for yourselves and for your businesses in such an amazing way and for each other that then built that trust to then do the shoots for like getting into Rocky Mountain Bride and like all these other amazing shoots as well, right?
Like, I think the harder it is, the more rewarding it is too. Like there was so many hurdles to overcome. That Lake Como shoot that we just did, that got the cover of Rocky Mountain Bride. I think I'm allowed to say that. I'm allowed.
It's on Instagram.
I can announce that. There was just so many, for example, the florist, I was very specific on the kind of rose I wanted. It had to be a Playa Blanca rose. I didn't want any other white roses, you know, high maintenance cast, has to be a certain way. And I think she had, I can't remember how many roses, probably 500 plus, and 150 of them all arrived dead. And she didn't have time to reorder them. They weren't available. And I was just like, you just got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. It's too late to turn back, whether you have to use silk, whether you have to go to every grocery store in the Okanagan. I don't really care. See you on Monday kind of thing. And she did such a beautiful job. Like if I didn't say that, you would have never known. So a lot of the mistakes or a lot of the hurdles that are overcome in wedding planning, you know, you would never know. Yeah. But behind the scenes, there's just a fire, but it's fine. Everything's great.
Literally. I feel like I don't even know. Okay. We can maybe pivot a little bit into like wedding planning and like even our wedding. Cause I know that some people do want to know about that too. And like, so Cass was the first vendor that we locked down. And I say vendor like very loosely, cause I was like, I'm pretty sure she knew from the beginning that she was going to be our wedding planner. I was like, you're kind of wrapped into this.
your ask or your proposal to me was very cute.
So Jared and I got, engaged in Mexico, actually just down the beach from where we got married, in the Riviera Maya. And it was literally that night. Like we didn't even leave Mexico before we had FaceTime Cass and like did a proposal to her. And we're like, will you be our wedding planner? I was so firm in that. And I think one of the biggest things is like, as we have grown in our business, as we have, you know, grown together in our life, we've realized like, hey, just like an accountant, like I'm more than happy to pay for an accountant because they do a great job. And I don't know accounting. Mm-hmm. That's not my forte. I don't want to spend the time and the energy to have to try to figure that out because it's just going to burn me in the butt. With wedding planning, it was 1,000% worth the investment to have a wedding planner because I never once had, honestly, I never had a breakdown. I maybe had a stressful moment like 3 weeks out when I was like, I've just been procrastinating stuff that I have to do. But there was never a moment where I was like, okay, I'm really worried about what's going on, the budget, are we on track for things? Like it was like, nope, Cass has got me. The spreadsheets, like the million spreadsheets that we have, which my type A brain loves, are all there. I can see everything. And that was the first person we locked down. But it was like going into that whole process, I think a lot of people assume that wedding planning has to be stressful and it absolutely doesn't. It's just a matter of like the choices that you make and how you set yourself up, you know?
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. That means I did my job. It was so fun. We should dive into that a little bit more.
I mean, I could talk for hours about my wedding. No, but it was good. And I don't know, like, so let's rewind to the beginning. When you have like an inquiry, like what would you say are like the biggest things for if you're going to hire a wedding planner, like what you should kind of be looking for, or maybe what the difference is between a wedding planner, a day of coordinator, and whatever the other option is?
That's a great question because every planner's definition of those things are different. So for us, for Whitehaven, we specialize in full planning and design. And the reason I like to do that is because it's consistent from the very beginning to the end. So we have our hands on everything. Rarely do I ever do a wedding that I don't have control over the design, just because it has such a huge impact on the couple's wedding day. So with full planning and design, basically we're there from the very beginning. Sometimes couples will have their venue already selected, which is great. Sometimes they won't. We'll work with both. Then we start to dive into the budget and vendor bookings. So a photographer that I may recommend to one couple, I might not recommend to another, just based on the client's must-haves. So the very beginning of the planning process, we go through kind of a discovery call. And I always ask, what are your three must-haves? So if the couple says epic wine, epic dance floor, and huge floral arrangements, like that's their number one thing, I'm probably not going to let them spend $8,000 on a photographer because that wasn't something that was a core need for them from the very beginning. And we allocate those funds accordingly. So for you guys, epic dance floor has been the number one thing since day one. We balled out on your dance floor. We got the best DJ, which I think literally in Cancun, Luca was unbelievable. I've talked to him since. And I'm like, bring me out again for another wedding. He was so great. And we did a lot of, you know, add-ons for your dance floor to really elevate that experience for your guests. So every decision that we make after that discovery process, basically encompasses what is most important to that client. I always say that I never repeat a design. So sometimes inquiries will come to me and say, I really loved that wedding that you did at Cedar Creek Winery. Can we do that again? And I say, no, but we can draw inspiration from that wedding. I want to get to know you and your partner a little bit more and how, you know, we can make that your own.
Yeah.
When your guests walk into your wedding, I want them to say, that is so Jordan and Jared. And 5 years down the road, I don't want you to look back and say, I would never do that again. We went with the trends. Like that looks like a 2024 wedding. We're going to avoid that at all costs. And we're going to do something a lot more unique.
And I think you nailed that in the fact that I think pretty much every single one of our guests left being like, wow, the personalizations were insane. Like, yep. From, and we didn't, like, yes, we invested in certain things. Honestly, we stayed on budget really well. Like, we didn't, our wedding was very elevated, but we made really conscious choices around what we were investing in and what we weren't based on what we actually cared about. Like, what was it? Like, 4 weeks before the event, Cass and I got on a call and we were talking about the budget and like kind of the overall design and kind of the final look. And we ended up cutting all of our table flowers.
We added
in charger plates.
Just prepared.
The charger plates. Oh my God. That's a whole story for another time. But we added candles instead because I really love ambient lighting. Like I wanted the like vases in the middle with candles and charger plates and the chandeliers. And to me, flowers didn't really add anything, but those personalized touches like the custom bar, the custom dance floor, the written table cards, the signature drink of Zoe, like all these certain aspects that made it ours, I think you really focused on them and you always brought us back to them, which was nice because I never felt like we were getting pulled astray or spending unnecessary money on, you know, other things. It was like, okay, that's not really your priority. Let's bring it back to XYZ, right?
Well, and I really love talking my clients out of things too, because as a bride, you're consuming so much content every single day, whether that's on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest. And it's so easy for you to get so overwhelmed and not even know what's important and what's not. A lot of the time couples come to me and say, oh, this really epic seating chart backdrop with the Louis lounge furniture. And it's like, but we never, that's never really been something that's important to you. Like this is coming out of nowhere. And I really don't think it's going to add value to your overall event. And the next morning, you're not going to miss that. And I've had grooms text me being like, wow, I really didn't miss X, Y, and Z. I'm really glad you like talked us out of that because it's not something that I missed at all on my wedding day. So there's just so many personalizations and it's the wedding planning process is not a cookie cutter process. Every single couple, you know, we're at different stages, making different decisions. And I think that's what makes it so interesting and fun.
Yeah. Thing. And I think that is also what makes it for me, like there was really no other option than a full like planning and design package. Because I think one of the biggest things was I just wanted to relieve stress. And I wanted to relieve stress on my mother, my mother-in-law, myself, like family in general. I've been at weddings where like moms are stressed out and running all around. And I'm like, Lord knows I know my mom, I love her to bits. But I know that those decisions would really stress her out. So having you literally there with us, holding our hand throughout the entire process, you really got to know with us what our goals were, what our, you know, vision was. And then I'm sure in the background, there were decisions that you just kind of pulled trigger on and were like, okay, yes, we're going to do this. Kate, we're going to take this away. Jordan's not going to care. Or I know that they're going to want this. They're fine with investing in that. Or no, we don't need to add this on, you know?
That's exactly why you would have someone on the day of making those decisions for you, because you can plan as much as you want, but there's always going to be something, no matter how perfect your planning is, how perfect your timeline is, there's always something. And I couldn't even imagine the questions that I get throughout a wedding day, those going to my bride or the mother of the bride. You wouldn't even be able to really process what's being asked of you. And it would totally take away from your whole day. For me, it's a 16-hour work day and it flies by in a blink of an eye. And so I always think, you know, how quickly is this day going to go for my couple? And I build my timelines accordingly. And I think that's something Jared kind of mentioned afterwards. He's like, I actually felt relaxed and I didn't feel like I needed to be doing photos for 2 hours. Like I just felt like I could kind of move on when I wanted. And it's your day. I'm just there to kind of guide you and slow it down a little bit, because like it flies by. So really.
And you did that in a really great way, in a way that still felt natural. But I think that was also a component of not having our wedding just be one day, but having it be a couple days that we knew that we would still get to see our guests at other occasions, which I would recommend for any couple getting married. It's like, don't just have it be a one night, one and done kind of thing, because or else you're spending all your time going around and having little chit chat conversations instead of being able to sit there and be like, wow, this is our wedding day. We just got married, and like fully living it. Like if you go onto like our Instagram, I literally have like my whole personality right now is my wedding on my Instagram page.
As it should be.
Yeah, but I literally have thousands of photos and videos that I'm like, they're all so good, I need to post them. But it's just like, I was able to enjoy, and you can see that from there, is that we were present. And I think that's a combination of the wedding planning package and like having all of that allocated and aligned and organized and whatever, that I just had that trust, honestly, that, hey, if a chandelier falls over in the middle of our reception, I don't need to worry about it. You guys, that happened. Like, it's fine. It was whatever.
You didn't even notice, which was the funniest part.
I didn't even notice until I saw Cass literally like dragging this, I don't know, this massive chandelier over to the side. And I was like, oh, what the heck is going on over there? And I was like, whatever. I'm on the dance floor.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, there's always going to be something.
So I want, I could go on and on and talk about like your expertise. I mean, you have so much experience. You've gone through, you know, entrepreneurship, business building, pivoting, you know, growing through those tough seasons, COVID, all this kind of stuff. And I think 10 years of wedding planning in itself, just, I would say you probably are, I don't, maybe you have this actual stats, like the number one wedding planner in Kelowna at this point. Like, what, I know you have like a little workshop drop, well, not a little, it's actually quite big, a workshop dropping in January. Can you just tell a little bit about that? Because I'd love for listeners to know a little bit more about that.
So I'm taking my own advice that I gave earlier to new entrepreneurs starting. This is something I've wanted to do probably for 3 years. And I just keep saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm qualified. And we're doing it because I am qualified and it's time. And I'm very excited about it. So what we are doing in January is I'm offering a 2-day wedding planning and design workshop for all levels of wedding planners. So you don't need to be a beginner. You can be intermediate. You can be doing this for 5 years, 10 years. Basically, what I'll be doing is no filter, no bullshit, no secrets. I'll be teaching everything that I've learned, and kind of touching on some really key topics that I wish I knew when I first started. So I had a mentor and I did different workshops, but I feel like I was always left wanting more. And I think that really came from just like the gatekeeping. Like, I just want someone to be honest and really talk about the struggles, because we always want to be perfect and talk about how beautiful wedding planning is. And it's actually not. Like, I'm a drowned rat at every single wedding that I do. And that's just the reality of it. And I think that's a huge misconception. So I'll be doing, you know, live mock-ups of round tables versus rectangular tables. I'll have guest speakers talking about the biggest challenges in wedding planning. Pricing. How do you price your services and actually make money to pay yourself and to pay for your vacations? Teaching the freedom side of it. There's so many things. I was going through the curriculum this morning. I was like, wow, I might need a third day. This is a lot of information, but basically just offering what I wish I had when I first started, really. And just all of the things that I wish I knew that I have spent 10 years learning, that you can learn in afternoons.
Yeah. So that's going to be January 11th and 12th. Is that correct?
Yes. 11th. So
January 11th and 12th, 2025, if you're listening to this in the future, for, like Kath said, like all levels of wedding planners, 2 day in person, which is huge. And I think one of the biggest things, just like, even from our experience with business growth and coaching, is just like getting in the room. Like, if you're looking for that next level jump in your business, whether it's wedding planning or whatever, like, get in the room with people that are at that phase where you want to be, that are doing those things. Like, get in the room with them, have those conversations, because sometimes it's, I mean, I'm sure your curriculum is going to be incredible, but sometimes it's even those like sidebar conversations when you're having lunch or like at the coffee shop in between break times where you're like, wow, like that was the like golden nugget of information that I needed to just like do the thing or change my pricing or, you know, add this service or maybe start growing your team or whatever, like delegate this task in my business. Like, sometimes you just need those people in the room there. So definitely check out the link below. We will link the kind of sign up for that 2 day workshop that you guys can check out and definitely go attend, because you will learn so much. So Cass, thank you. I'm so grateful that you were able to hop on. I know that people have probably learned so much in terms of, you know, just entrepreneurship. And I think just hearing from other people that have gone through those struggles, who are young, who are, you know, just energetic and vivacious and like want to create that change and kind of like create honestly their own lane in an industry that's been around for so long, and being like, hey, we're going to do it this way. We're going to like do it differently and in a really elevated way. We needed that in the Okanagan. I think you've done that beautifully. And it's just really cool to see from a friend, and our wedding planner just absolutely rock it.
Thank you so much for having me and for trusting me in your business, in your wedding, being here today. It's pretty cool.
It was amazing. I would go back and relive my wedding day every single day if I could.
Oh, no, it was so nice.
I would need another liver, but I would definitely do it. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, you guys. Go down and check out the podcast notes for all those links that we mentioned. We'll make sure they're all in there. And if you do have any questions, make sure you go check out Whitehaven Weddings on Instagram. Send her a message if you have any questions. I'm always an open book as well and can answer anything that we may have talked about. And we just hope that you guys have a really epic day. So go out there, be movers and shakers, and absolutely rock it out. Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It is our mission to help as many people truly thrive in all aspects of their life. It honestly means the world to us that you are here.
If you got any value, support, or takeaways from today's episode, the best thing that you can do is screenshot this episode and share it to your social media. Or you can leave us a review below. We read every single one.
If you are looking for additional support or resources, check the episode details below or send us a message on Instagram. We would love to connect.